Chapter 6. Tick. A plate was before her, impeccably clean, a pasty white, shining stars underneath the chandelier. It was filled with food, meat, bleeding meat that began to drip under her lap. The fork remained untouched. The table seemed to stretch out longer and longer ahead of her. When dragging her eyes upwards, her father was so far sitting at the end, endless wine glasses spilled along the white tablecloth, stains dark enough to be matched with blood. A phantom of her mother haunted the large portrait on the side of their ever-so-long table that never seemed to fit enough people. It was all so white, aside from the wine. A silver platter appeared in the corner of her vision, dark, red-tipped claws slowly opening the tin cap to reveal more meat. Charlie stared at her father, who buried his face in his hands. Tick. She let him cry. Tick, tick, tick. Charlie's eyes opened. Slowly, they focused on the new world before her, gaining clarity. The clock in her room was loud with its third dial flicking each dash. She noticed that she had been well tucked into her bed, on her back, stiff yet comfortable. Her head ached like a motherfucker. Whenever she would glance to the bright windows beside her, they would stain her eyes, her jaw tensing. As much as she kept closing her eyelids to fall back into slumber, she was restless. Images of her dream kept coming back to haunt her. Charlie groaned, rubbing the corners of her eyes with her fingers, staring at the ceiling in contemplation. How did she even get here? The last thing she remembered was angel dust. She whipped upwards and clutched at her chest. Her leg bumped into something, and initially she finally looked and expected Alistair. A similar memory from before, but it was only a white, fuzzy lump collapsed on her bed. Angel. It looked like he had been sitting by her bedside and passed out. He was quite tall. It seemed to work out in his favor. Immediately, she reached out to touch his hair, her eyes welling with tears as she recalled the memory. Valentino was so evil to him. How could someone so cruel exist? Angel felt her touch and shifted, lifting his head up to gaze at her, eyes round. Angel, she whispered, and without hesitation, she moved her body despite the aches to wrap him in a hug. He was frozen, stiff. However, arms moved around her, and he let out a breathy chuckle.
Hey, you're all right.
Charlie gave a big squeeze before releasing him, grabbing his hands with hers.
Are you?
Angel Dust blinked.
Am I? He was doing all that.
She bit her lip and found her eyes flitting around to search her head.
I don't know. That was so terrible. So terrible.
Charlie took a long breath.
I can't believe you dealt with that evil. Girly,
Angel said, tapping her knee to grab her attention back to his face.
You've been out for a hot second. Do you remember anything?
Charlie frowned. Remember? She rubbed her forehead.
You know, it is odd. I was in the middle of teaching that guy what's up, and...
She paused.
Huh. Nothing.
Angel shook his head.
Ah, fuck. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing at this point. What is? What happened?
Charlie paused.
Are you still contracted to him?
Downcast, Angel Dust shook his head.
No. No, I'm free. Glee. That's what was up.
She inhaled slowly through her nose and let out the stress of wonder through her mouth.
That's amazing! I'm so glad, Angel. We should celebrate!
Charlie didn't seem too happy. Charlie watched as he slowly pulled away from the bed to stand up. Her head had to rotate to accommodate his height.
Charlie, he died.
Her face dropped.
He's dead. That's how I'm free. Did you? No,
he said, stern.
It wasn't me.
She felt her fingers turn cold.
It wasn't you either.
Oh.
Alice that killed him.
Charlie felt confused.
But Valentino drugged you, and Alistair used that to his advantage.
She was drugged, and Alistair killed someone.
He killed a lot of people, Charlie. I don't think a single part of his gang is left. I think the club got shut down, actually.
She was drugged, and Alistair committed a massacre. It started with one thought, her carelessness. Initially, Charlie should have come up with a more meticulous plan if Valentino had gotten physical. She didn't really consider that he would have done such a thing. Maybe she should have done more research on that guy, asked around, and gone over it with Angel Dust a little more. But then again, was time ever really on her side? That was the second branch that formed out of her growing thought tree. Time. What else could Valentino have done with him if she'd just extended it? Not only that, but with the extermination clock still ticking, the sound of Sandfall being a death bell for her sinners, she had only so much time to really come up with the plans. That was one of the denominators on why she dragged Alistair out of exile. Alistair. Branch after branch after branch. Alistair was her liability. If he's reckless, that's her fault. She let him out. She had to make sure he was behaving. No, no. Instead, she was letting herself be swindled by Alistair's words, his care, his helpfulness, his attentive gaze and vocal praise. Losing focus. She was really convinced that he wouldn't do that. Why would she be convinced of that? He had told her time and time again that, back to that frivolous time, he was not a good person. But why was he so good to her? And why did she not mind Valentino dying? Charlie put a hand over her mouth. How could that thought even cross her mind? She whispered, before crawling out of bed, slipping on her knees and clutching the paper-filled trash bin near the desk to vomit nothing but bile into it. She never had that breakfast she promised Angel. Tears had sprung as the vomit burned her throat.
Charlie!
Angel called out, immediately moving to kneel beside her. She couldn't stop throwing up, hurling air and sorrows into the garbage. Just garbage. Nothing but garbage. His hands moved to gently tuck her loose hair behind her back in a makeshift ponytail. Her head pounded still. Charlie fluttered her eyelashes open, witness to her body waste covering her crumpled papers. Her dreams, her plans, her ideas.
Charlie,
Angel whispered from beside her, idly petting his fingers through her hair, an attempt to soothe her trembling shoulders.
Hey, it's okay. It's okay.
I'm sorry, Angel, she cried. I just wanted to help you.
I know, sweetie,
Angel murmured.
You did. You did help me.
I'm supposed to make you better.
Charlie couldn't stop crying, but she could hear Angel murmur something akin to, "You are." She had completely lost control. She was meant to be someone people could look up to. How could she get mindlessly drugged and puppeted like some sort of doll? Alistair still had that innate bloodthirst. Her methods were not improving him.
Let's get you off the floor.
Angel interrupted, wringing her ears. She glanced at him, helpless as he placed his hands under her armpits to guide her back into bed. Her body felt so weak. Angel had brought along the trash bin with one of his extra arms and settled it beside her bed.
I'm just going to treat this like a hangover. I'll get some lemon water for you,
Angel said. With clenched fists, she bit.
Get. Alistair.
Clarity was not hers to behold. Angel's chest hiccuped, and he nervously chuckled.
Do I gotta? Well, I've kind of been avoiding that guy, and...
They'd never really been on good terms. Charlie sighed.
No. Don't worry. It's okay. Thank you, Angel Dust. The water would be great.
He looked guilty. To convince him she wasn't upset, she gave him a smile. He didn't return it, giving her a thought-filled glance before leaving the room. She stared back out the window.
He killed a lot of people, Charlie.
Charlie buried her head in her hands. No, there had to be some validity to it. Even if it was murder, there had to be. Flashes of Valentino hurting Angel Dust crossed her head, and her nails began to scrape at her skin. Her nose flared with each shaking breath that threatened her lungs. Her tears started to singe at her skin in a heated rage. I hate him. She bared her sharp teeth. I hate him, I hate him, I hate him.
My, what a dull expression.
Charlie slowly turned her wet eyes. Alistair stepped inside of her room, hands on his blazer, eyeing her carefully.
It's good to see you're awake.
Charlie couldn't even speak. She felt that queasiness in her stomach and turned her cheek away from him. This resulted in a sigh from the radio demon. He moved to idly pluck at the dying roses in the vase next to her bed. She usually took care of them. She liked to take care of things, pushing them to the light when on days they were duller. But she had been out, evidently.
You're mad at me.
With a scoff, she lifted her hands.
What gave you that idea?
They remained in a shared quiet. Footsteps pounded down the hall, and in came Angel's voice.
I got you.
His eyes turned wide at the sight of Alistair. His demeanor seemed to change completely. Charlie winced. Alistair had never been super nice to him, but she sighed.
Thank you, Angel.
He moved to hand her the water that had a lemon cut on the top. Angel had swerved slightly to avoid Alistair, whose eyes did not leave him. The tension in the room thick like smog. She held the glass with both her hands and let the condensation cool her heated skin.
Angel Dust,
Alistair said, crossing his arms behind his back as he gazed out of the window.
When you leave, be sure to close the door.
The clock on her wall continued to tick. Charlie watched as Angel Dust cast his focus to the both of them in short intervals before sighing.
Yeah,
he whispered, leaving the room and closing the door behind him. It seemed more somber than ever. Tick.
Well, I can't leave you like this.
Charlie closed her eyes shut to avoid rolling them.
I said no killing.
Alistair gave a dragging sigh as if he was nagging her.
Charlie, you've been in hell for how many years now? And yet you're still concerned some people deserve to live?
Death is...
Let's say I did spare Valentino.
Alistair stepped closer to her.
Let's say I let him live his merry days in this pitiful pot. Assuming his contract with that fellow somehow abruptly ended despite him being a stubborn, greedy egg. What do you think would happen after that?
Charlie blinked.
He would just get another Angel Dust. What's another several hundred of them, darling? Why not? Let him live another day and scoop another poor, hopeless crumb off the streets. You know, to let them be hurt, wrung dry.
Alistair listed off, letting her shrink into the bedsheets before really pinning it home.
Beating them, selling them, taping their despair, forcing them down on their knees to...
Enough!
Charlie's hands shook, the icy water spilling on her bedsheets. She sniffled and immediately put the cup on the table to avoid making a mess.
I get it.
You don't.
Alistair grit. Charlie still refused to look at him.
Your goal is to redeem sinners. Sure, the pitiful gamblers, those who drank themselves to death, or maybe killed a guy. It was self-defense, they swear. Perhaps they schmoozed money, robbed a bank to feed their starving babe.
Alistair chuckled.
I mean, the list is endless. Look at your father. Stepped out of line and he was punished for eternity. Yes, Charlie, you can try to fix those folk. They want to be fixed. But there are some people that will make you angry, Princess. Some people hurt because it makes them feel good. They're just designed that way.
So, you... Radio feedback fell between them. Slowly, Charlie glowered at him, finding him glancing down at her with a facade she'll never be able to break into.
Oh, how I do hate that look on you when it's on me,
Alistair muttered. Then maybe don't do things to make me mad.
So if I didn't get my hands a little dirty, how cumbersome.
He waved his fingers around.
And he drugged you. What was I meant to do?
Charlie could only listen, somewhat petrified at the idea. He opened his arms.
Should I have let him do whatever he wanted to you? To your friend?
He bit out the word as if it made him nauseous.
You were the first step, darling. You tried words, and it didn't work. You were the judge, and I, your executioner.
His teeth peeled back to grin, and she sunk under his shadow.
You'll bark, and I'll bite.
You killed more than him.
He tapped a finger down his cheek.
They were coming after me. What was I meant to do? Let them get me? It's self-defense, I swear. Mutual, darling. It's a battlefield.
It's like it was a game to him. It made her sick. She groaned into her hands before smearing them up her face to grab at her hair. I can't stand you.
Why?
Charlie stared at her bedsheets.
No, really, Charlie. What did I do wrong?
He asked. But it wasn't really a question. Her heart burned. Her lungs weren't getting enough air.
I was protecting you.
Tick.
I defended you. I made you the priority. Aren't you glad someone finally did that for you?
Something shattered in her head. A small glass case, fragile, dangling off the edge of a bedside table. It was shaken enough to fall and crumble. Nothing was inside this small metaphorical glass case. Just emptiness. Bottled. Expected to be anything more than nothing.
Stop, Alistair. I won't let you do this.
Charlie whispered, bending her body over to plant her forehead against the bedsheets.
Leave me alone.
Alistair sighed.
Weren't you the one talking about how communication is key? Honestly, Princess, let's sort these priorities of yours.
Anger. Charlie grabbed the glass cup of iced water Angel had gifted her and moved to throw it at Alistair's head. Of course, he dodged it, effortlessly, his smile never dropping as he merely stepped to the side. It shattered against the wall and stained the wallpaper a darker color. One of his eyebrows raised. Immediately, she felt like a chastised child.
I get it. I'm wrong. You're right. Grovel in it. Eat it all up. Yes, my plans backfired. It blew up in my face, and you had the first row fucking seat. I don't care. Just leave already.
The weight of her words were heavy on her shoulders. She hugged her body, needing some sort of comfort. Charlie was embarrassed she was acting so violently. It was shameful of her. Tick.
So, do you give up?
Give up. Two words that have always been teased at her.
I mean, Princess, hell is hot. If you're starting to get burned, well, no one would blame you.
Charlie glanced at him. He smiled wider at her attention.
You can abandon this project after this very big bump in your road. Who knows how many are left? You can trot back to that big, empty, sad castle with your sad father and continue your pathetic bedrot there.
He then summoned his chains and clutched at them.
But you do understand I cannot permit you to simply discard me.
Alistair's slits were knife-sharp, cutting into her.
Yell at me, throw glass, and drown me in scorn. Be a child. It's all naught. I would do it over and over again with even less mercy, if you so dared.
He reiterated, walking closer and closer to her bed, the chains clinking as they wrapped around her arm tighter. Charlie winced as he yanked her closer, him bending to have their faces close.
I did you a rather considerable favor. Now Angel Dust is exempt from his torture and can continue his rehabilitation in peace.
Alistair tilted his head.
And I will take care of any other troubles that threaten you. This was an act of kindness. Is that clear?
Even though he was the collared one, he was making demands. She still couldn't fathom the moral dilemma making a racket in her head. Without really considering his words, she quietly nodded. She didn't have the energy to fuel her rage. Alistair suddenly shifted, his harsh demeanor softened within seconds, slits becoming round as he huffed.
You still look displeased with me.
The chains disappeared. Charlie winced.
I feel betrayed.
He had a curious expression.
Valentino drugged me, and you took that as the go-ahead to do whatever you pleased. Will you always do that?
He blinked.
Well, I did try talking to him. Briefly. He was quite the impossible man.
Alistair casually took a seat beside her, as if they weren't having an argument. As if everything was light and dandy.
At that point, I decided scum like that should...
He paused, before making eye contact with her and grinning.
Well, to put it simply, die.
But what gives you the right to judge that?
What gives you the right to see good in people?
He shrugged.
As much as anyone else can see bad.
Alistair studied his nails.
Now that reign of torture is over, my dear, and plenty will be celebrating his departure. Me included.
Charlie just decided to move on.
You didn't really answer my question before.
Alistair was silent. With small static distorting, he then simply said,
If I see you in a position of danger, I will promptly remove you from it, by any means necessary. Even if that means doing a few things you may disapprove of.
She gave a weak laugh.
Well, I would think you want me dead. You could just kill me now and get it over with. Free yourself.
She collapsed onto the bed, her head hitting her pillow as she stared at the ceiling. Alistair's red eyes glowed at her from the corner of her vision.
I couldn't stop you.
Tick. He only ogled her, moving a hand to gently knuckle at her chin. Would he really do it? His fingers trailed down her neck, thumbing at her windpipe, and she almost wanted him to squeeze it. Anything to remove the guilt. However, his palm continued to descend, trailing over her chest before getting swept onto bedsheets. He simply planted it on her covered stomach, contemplative.
Tempting. However, I will have to decline, princess.
Charlie frowned.
Your romanticism would be most terribly missed.
Oh. She looked at him, a witness to his muted chuckle.
Besides, you're useful. We have a shared deal. I'm many a things, but I do like to keep to my promises. I'll think about your offer another time, though.
He gave her a wink. A wink. The gall on this guy. She moved her blanketed foot to lazily kick at his back.
Go away. You make me mad.
Alistair laughed. It was most joyous and contagious, biting back a smile. He killed, but maybe she could make an exception. One. Relapses happened, right? Angel Dust had got away with plenty. Then again, it was drugs, not obliterating overlords. No, no, she shouldn't be okay with it. Charlie was in quite a pickle. The bed shifted, and Alistair laid on his side, across her legs once more, elbow upright to hold his head and the other tucked across his raised knee.
Are you just going to stare at me now? I'm tired.
Clearly he's trying to prove something.
Hmm.
He hummed, pinching his fingers together and rubbing them.
Perhaps. You could just sleep now, dear, under my company.
Charlie swallowed a comment regarding how odd that was. This guy's intentions were so strange.
But I do need to tell you something.
She exhaled, closing her eyes and simply letting her head lay back on the pillow. Her head still hurt. The radio demon shuffled to instead lay on top of her, stomach to stomach, holding up his face with his hands as he stared down at her. Charlie immediately felt captive, batting her eyes in shock at their proximity.
You couldn't tell me from over there?
How come he kept doing this to her? Personal space was lost on him. He made her mad, and still the audacity to drape across her like a blanket. Alistair waved his hand to dismiss her.
I killed a rather popular fellow,
he said,
and perhaps word might catch around quickly. This could put us in quite a predicament.
Us. Charlie was technically responsible for all of his deeds, she wowed. Panic. She didn't really consider that part yet. There was so much to go over, and she was intaking her information so slowly.
Is the hotel in danger?
Alistair grinned.
No. No. I will defend it as your ever-faithful hotelier.
This hotelier murders people. Her stomach twisted, and she wiped at her cheek.
Try not to kill any more people, please.
Charlie whispered despite his eyes flickering in disapproval before her.
I do have to try to change you.
It's not my fault your father is...
Alistair wrinkled his nose.
Impossible to deal with. But I'll try to avoid making you uncomfortable.
He muttered, glancing around the room. Charlie closed her eyes. She knew that would be the most she'd get out of him.
Okay.
Even though he was still laying on her, she let herself grow used to the feeling. Tick.
Where'd you learn to dance?
Charlie's eyes snapped open to Alistair. He had a sort of contemplative peace about him, eyes soft with thought. She tried not to be too concerned.
My mother?
Do you dance often?
Alistair took a strand of her hair to play with.
No, I haven't since...
She shook her head.
Well, since she disappeared. She was really strict with me, you know. The lessons, always moving. I never really liked the fancy scene of things.
Charlie pushed her lips to the side, watching as Alistair was entranced with her hair.
Why are you asking?
Alistair released her hair.
Just felt like it.
What is even going on? The door burst open, and Charlie shrunk into the covers in shock. With tiny little scattering footsteps, she recognized it was Nifty.
Sir! Sir!
She had cried out, running to jump onto the bed and immediately jumped at the sight.
Oh! Oh, my! Are you two having sex?
Charlie gawked.
No! No, we have our clothes on. He just won't get off me.
She could hear a quiet laugh track function from his cane. Her head panged with its migraine embedded inside.
Oh! How strange!
Nifty tapped her chin, glancing around the room.
Mr. Alistair is quite a freak!
Stop that! Why do you say these things?
Alistair grinned and gently plucked at Nifty's head to grab her attention back.
What's in that small little mind of yours now, my small bug?
The housekeeper's eye turned round with despair.
Well, I was chasing a real big rat bubonic kind of thing, and it fled into the toilet, so I got the plunger and I started beating it.
She clutched her hands, teeth turning sharper with bloodlust.
However, it,
Sheepishly, She dragged her tiny foot along the bedsheets.
It's clogged the toilet.
Alistair and Charlie were quiet. Tick.
Yeah, the entire seventh story is flooding.
Oh, dear.
Alistair sighed. He gave a glance to Charlie, who was just as tired of the malfunctioning hotel, and hummed.
It looks like I will be busy fixing that. I'll let you have your peace now.
He finally got off her with ease, following the rambunctious girl who had a prevalent skip in her step. Alistair's shadow closed the door shut behind them and left her to her own devices. Charlie was alone. Tick. She stared at the broken glass on the floor and sighed. Everything was still a blur. What did she miss? Charlie lifted her arm to see a small red stain. She wiped it off, staring at the dried substance curiously. There was no injury on her. Curious. Tick. There was no music, no static, no presence looming over her, touching her. Tick. And the most damning part was not the way Charlie decided to let Alistair off easy. It was not her being glad Valentino was dead. Tick. She felt at her throat, nails scraping along the sides. Her stomach twisted. The bitter aftertaste of bile remained and tempted her to feel sick once again. Cold. Isolated. No, her ill mind was not the pressing matter. The most damned thing. Was the way her body wanted Alistair back on it. Tick.
Hey, where you at?
His message would remain undelivered. A real big headache Valentino was being. Deep within their large auditorium was a room designated for tabletop gatherings. The walls were floor-to-ceiling with glass that showed a massive aquarium filled with all sorts of sea life. Well, only the most demented things from what laid beneath the Marianas Trench. Fish with a Luciferian glowing in their stomachs. Endless arrangements of teeth, their skeletons on display with their thin skin. Coral and various plants would bring spots of color to the sand and the rest of the rather dimly lit room. Waves of water would reflect across the black, shiny table. The various potted trees that scattered. Demons with formal attire held silver platters on the tips of their fingers. It was a rather well-kept event for a group of overlords that seemed to diminish as time continued on. There sat Vox, tapping his fingers on the table, watching as Velvet kicked her shoes up onto the table surface and leaned back in her chair to idly text. He twitched before sighing.
How many times have I told you to keep your feet off the table?
With that, miniature sparks flicked at her ankles, and she hissed when curling them back towards her chest. With a heavy accent,
"Relax! No one goes in here anymore anyway. I guess even Valentino's sick of your shit,"
Velvet said, malicious with her intentions as she eyed him.
"Ha ha!"
Vox elongated, rolling his eyes.
"No, seriously, where is he?"
Velvet shrugged.
"Have you tried texting him?"
"Yes, I did, like the other five times you asked me to."
Velvet tutted, and Vox only leaned back in displeasure.
He probably got carried away with his, you know, thing.
She flapped out a limp hand.
It happens.
It's true it wasn't the first time Valentino had been late.
Usually he's showing activity on other stuff, though,
Vox said, moving to his social media to see emptiness.
He hasn't posted anything. He hasn't even texted me a single thing. Usually he's sending me dick pics.
Velvet glanced at him.
Like, Vox cleared his throat. In a normal way. You wouldn't get it. It's a guy thing.
Nothing about that is normal,
she grit out, evidently tired of them.
I'm assuming this meeting is adjourned until, well, whenever Valentino gets back to us.
She didn't bother waiting for a response from Vox. Instead, she hopped out of her chair, allowing it to spin from the velocity of her movement. Velvet didn't say a word, only typing away at her device, walking towards the door that opened automatically whenever she stepped near. Once the two large metal doors closed behind her, Vox groaned, sliding back with his rolling chair and stared at the ceiling. They had quite the rumors to conquer that day, too. Well, he supposed Velvet might have had a point. There was not much he could do. Perhaps he could visit the studio later after his employees update him with the latest talk of the town to broadcast. With that, he got out of his chair, grabbing a small skewer of food from one of the displayed platters, and chomped on it mindlessly. Vuck stepped out into his large reserve, Oxford shoes clicking in the empty halls that displayed various accomplishments and decor. Small patterns would glow underneath each step of his that resembled electrical wiring. He opened his phone again and stared at their empty conversation. Vox didn't really like to say he was attached to that moth dick. He wasn't. Yet the emptiness in their rendezvous began to haunt him. Anxiety would cause him to lift his cuffs and scratch at his wrists, a phantom sensation of ants underneath his skin. His worry never a positive manifestation. Something just felt off. He stood still, taking a long breath before entering an elevator and allowing himself to descend deep into the depths of hell. Fluorescent lights would peep from the square-shaped glass pane before him. It would reflect off his head, blinding him for mere moments before landing with a quiet puff and welcoming him into an empty abyss. Lights flickered on, and within the empty abyss was a small stage of incredibly large monitors. A long pathway led to the middle of the room where his miniature empire was. He tossed the empty skewer base into the pit below. His footsteps continued to click and echo tenfold in the void, and he stepped forward to take his seat in his large, luxurious chair. A wire manifested itself upwards to plug into the back of his head seamlessly. Volts rerouted inside of him, and his chest heaved before he stretched his body in pleasure. This was power. With a grin, he pressed his keyboard to activate his station, millions upon millions of cameras now functioning. "Let's find you, Val!" He would shift through the footage that would lay upon Valentino's block. To his surprise, it seemed like there were a lot less people over there than usual. Vox moved to hover over his club and took note of the dimmed lights. Is he just out? Vox tampered into cameras inside. The main room was completely void. Abandoned. In fact, it was a bit of a mess. One thing about that club is that it was never empty. A non-stop party for those who still crave that adrenaline for the rest of their damned lives. Vox peeped through the backstage footage, and it was still empty. Then he'd try Valentino's studio, but was met with noise. Nothing but noise and a small little error. The camera was malfunctioning. Shit. He'd have to get up then. With a long breath, he closed his eyes and allowed his form to transform into an electric current, whirring through the voltage across town, his private transportation free for his use. He rebirthed himself into the world through the controlled lightning, taking a step forward into his newfound scene. Vox opened his eyes and was prepared to start an investigation. Something dripped on him. He glanced up and found that the ceiling was red, dark, drooling at him ominously, and he peeked around to find that the rest of the room was red. Some parts were dry, however, there were still puddles. Vox knelt down to drag a finger through it. It stuck to his gloves, goopy, and judging by the torn limb that was scattered near the porn set before him, there was no denying what he was witness to. A murder scene, most definitely, one of such graphic caliber. Perhaps Valentina was laying low. Maybe he did this. Vox would continue to survey the area, coming across no signs of any life, just the discarded pieces of them. Fleshy, mangled bits, limbs, horns, organs. It was biologically impossible to put two and two together. They'd been decimated. Honestly, it looked like a miniature extermination day had taken place. Vox was honestly feeling a little sick, and he'd had his own hand in a few fucked-up slaughters. Was this Valentino's work? He'd never strike him as the type of guy to spoil his own building. He hated messes. Vox glanced over at a dangling light, pushed out of its socket that seemed to glimmer down on something. It was spotlighting a folding table with a bedsheet over it and two shaped lumps. Curious, he approached it, leaving bloodied footprints behind. His throat felt numb, and he continuously swallowed down the sudden wave of paranoia that thumped in his chest. One large breath. That was what it took to ease his racing heart. He ripped the bedsheets off and whipped them to the side. His breathing exercise could not help him now. A thorn-covered antique radio was flat on the table, along with Valentino's hat that dribbled with darkness. This can't be. The radio gurgled to life, feedback unable to decide on an octave as it dialed through stations until it landed on a small, fluttering noise. It was a drawn-out instrument, a trumpet, perhaps, warped. Vox leaned over the table, trying to hold back his nausea. The radio seemed to emit an all-too-familiar laugh, a devil's entertainment, as faint sounds of agony chorused throughout his show. He fell to his knees and held onto the edge of the table. Valentino's hat stuttered across the surface and landed to his side as he could only listen to the broadcast massacre. Blood-curdling cries, tearing noises, that damn cackle that spoke of true, unadulterated sadism. He whispered several rejections to deny its realness. As he tried to drown out the noise, the radio grew louder and louder until it just about ruined his hearing. Vox jolted to life and grabbed the radio to toss it across the room, several parts of its plastic casing scattering off. "Fuck you!" Vox screamed. "Fuck! Fuck! Fuck!" Even though he had thrown the radio away, it would still zap back to life in low frequencies, laughing at him. That was all he ever did. Vox grabbed Valentino's hat and tried not to feel the despair weigh heavy on him. There was no doubt about it. Through his shaking body and his crumbling psyche, one thought was certain. Somehow, the radio demon escaped death.